neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Mike Wiggins.
No, don't call me.
If it's something weird and it don't look good.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And Mike Wiggins is here, our Ghostbuster in the house with the garden line.
I'll be on the front porch handing out candy. That's my Ghostbuster job. Absolutely.
Right here. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Tell me how you're doing.
Well, I'm getting in the spirit of Halloween.
Oh, absolutely.
I was laughing because the statistics say that most families have already eaten 3 bags of candy. It hasn't even. I haven't had 3 bags, but I've, you know, had a few.
I've got 2 big bags.
There you go.
And you know, this is not garden line talk, but you know, big bags of candy are expensive.
Yes, they are.
I didn't realize.
It's gone up quite a bit.
I'll take that one. I said, what is
it? Yeah. It's definitely gone up.
There's no doubt about it.
A lot of candy corn this year for folks.
Oh, exactly.
Instead of chocolate.
Exactly. I've already opened that one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Absolutely. A couple of things. I guess, first of all, let's do what we always seem to do. Just talk a little bit about weather and water and what we need to do.
Because after all, this is the garden line.
It is the garden line. And it looks like we can turn off our sprinkler system for a day or so. We've had the rain, a good rain, yesterday. And it looks like Wednesday we're going to have more rain again.
Right.
So that's good. That'll save you a little money on your water bill. But don't forget, golly, we sound like a broken record every time we say this. This is Pensacola. We have no soil. We have nothing but sand. And so you can get 3 to 4 days past all of these rains and need to water again.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. But I think we can back off for a couple of days. And that is good. That is good. This rain is good for everything. It's good for our lawn, for our shrubs. It kind of gets everything ready for fall. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great because generally October is just really dry.
Right.
But not so.
Well, we had a pretty dry September.
Oh, we did. Oh,
and October, really. I mean, for us.
Exactly.
I will say, though, I have to just throw out a little prayer of gratitude that we are not facing Melinda today. 30 inches of rain they're expecting, and it's in their 175-mile-per-hour winds, Category 5.
That levels everything.
Gosh.
I was just watching the weather on our monitor here. And it's just getting ready to make landfall in Jamaica. Those poor people.
Oh, my goodness.
Those poor people, have landslides. They'll have no electricity. It's just going to be horrible for them for a long time. Because we know what a high-powered hurricane can do.
No question about
it. Because it did it to us.
Yeah.
And it'll take them a long time to recover.
Yeah, really something.
So
yeah, so.
I hope we in the United States can help them.
I hope so, too.
I really hope so. I really do. I do want to mention one other thing, non-garden line, if I could for a minute.
Go right ahead.
Way back in the day when I graduated from college, I in the late 60s, which we all did, we all served somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and I went to the Navy, OCS, and when I got out, I was assigned to an aircraft carrier, the USS Shangri-La.
Oh, what a great name.
What a wonderful name.
Wow.
And anyway, so the USS Shangri-La, fast forward to today, is having its 42nd reunion at Pensacola Beach.
Wow.
They've never been to Pensacola. They've had reunions
really?
All over the country, but they've never been to Pensacola, so this is the first time. It's good news, bad news for them. They really were looking forward to going to the Naval Museum. But, of course, with the government shut down, it's closed.
Well, that's a shame. You'd think they could make an exception.
Well, I don't think they can. I think you've got those rules to follow. You make them, for one, you make them for others.
Right.
And so I think that's probably off the table. But in any event, they're here. They're going over to the USS Alabama since they can't go to the museum. And they're going to eat at McGuire's.
Great.
And do all of those things. My thing is, I hope as you go about your business day, if you see some of these people, they'll be in a big group. Welcome them to Pensacola.
Wow.
Because they are. I've been to a couple of meetings with them while they're here, and such nice people from all over the country.
That's so special. So if you're listening to us this morning, thank you so much for your service, and we welcome you to Pensacola.
Yeah, absolutely. The second thing, non-garden line, is And we want to say this on Trick or Treat Night.
Yes, sir.
Which is Friday. Friday night. Be so careful driving. The little ones are all over the place.
And excited. They're not paying attention.
They're not paying the least bit of attention.
And some of the adults aren't either, by the way.
That's right. But just be so careful. Have a good time. That's one of my favorite nights. I love it, especially when the little ones come.
I know.
When the high schoolers come, I say, hey, guys, a little costume would help.
Right, exactly.
But that's okay. Everybody's having a good time. So be careful as you drive about.
Absolutely. Okay, we got a text that came in already, and it says, we started our second Sam-sized bag of candy yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. And that's exactly what I've got. I've got two Sam's bags of candy. Sitting in my house.
You're not alone, so don't feel too bad.
But I did open the candy corn and put it in a little jar.
Oh,
so
boy.
Every time I pass, I have to grab just a little bit.
All right, well, if we get back on track, this is the Garden Line.
And it is the Garden Line.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
There's certainly plenty of things to talk about in this fall season as we're heading into new weather and things to think about as we're heading into the new year. So if you have a question, gardening question, 850-437-1620.
Right.
And I'd love to hear if you can text it in.
And I have a road trip to recommend.
Okay.
If you're going down Summit Boulevard.
Yes.
Or if you're going down Spanish Trail, look at the landscaping at the airport, because the muley grass is in all its glory
right now. I've seen it, yes.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
You're right.
It really is. With those purple plumes coming up, it's something, really, it's worthwhile to maybe detour off your normal track to ride down there and take a look at that.
You're right. I go by there almost every day. It's beautiful.
Oh, it is beautiful. So it's a great landscaping plant, and we've never kind of talked at length about ornamental grasses. We did have a call last week about purple fountain grass.
That's right.
And that's another good one. It's it has that purple foliage, and then it has the big grassy leaves or plumes that come up. And it's a great plant. The muley grass, of course, I don't think can be beat. But it's really interesting. If you look into it a little deeper, there's a lot of different ones that you can plant. I just found out a couple of them I think are really interesting. The little zebra grass.
Oh.
It has a grassy, kind of like the muley grass, with the foliage of the plant itself, but it has little zebra stripes in the grass.
Wow. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
I don't think I've seen one in person. I've seen them, you know, on the internet.
Is that something that would grow well here?
Yes. Yeah. It's for zone up to zone 9. Oh, absolutely. And then of course we have pampas grass, which is a Pensacola
I've seen
staple.
That. Mm-hmm.
And right now it has got the beautiful white plumes that are in bloom. If I say in bloom, is how they grow the ornamental grasses. Right now it's really, really a fun plant. And then there's a Miscanthus. There's one called Chinese silver grass. And here's some more names you might see as you go. Cosmopolitan maiden grass.
Ooh, that kind of sounds cool.
Porcupine grass.
That one, no.
The little zebra grass. We talked about that. The Carl Foster feather reed grass.
Wow.
I don't know if I've ever seen that either. And sometimes you don't know what you're looking at.
Right.
You know, you've got all the big grassy, even before it blooms, you're not sure exactly what kind of ornamental grass it is.
Okay, we've got a question about grass.
Let's do it.
All right, so the question is from one of our listeners, will rye grass help or hurt centipede grass? Also, will it deter weeds?
You know, that is a great question because over the years, a lot of the literature will tell you that ryegrass, if you're overseeding ryegrass for centipede or St. Augustine or Zoysia, really any of our grasses here, that quite frankly, it really does not do any harm, nor does it do a lot of good.
Okay.
It does, at the very end, add a little nutrients to your turf, but not enough to warrant putting out ryegrass. But it is easy to do, and I think the important thing is it doesn't hurt anything.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you that nice green grass over the winter. You have to mow it. That's a big, big drawback to it. But it's good to do, and it's good to do now. And keep in mind, the only thing, I shouldn't say the only thing, but the one thing that will make it come up quickly is water.
Oh, okay.
You know, be sure to water it good. And we put out this warning, when was it, last week, Meg, I think, when we said, if you're going to put out ryegrass, do not get any of it in the flower bed.
That's right.
If you have one of the little hand cedars, you can kind of back up to your flower bed so it doesn't get behind you. And because once it gets in the flower bed, not that it's going to kill anything, it's just very unsightly, and it's hard to get rid of. So in any event, that's the deal.
Okay, great question. If you've got a question for the Garden Line for Mike Wiggins, our expert on the Pensacola Expert Panel, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. Goodbye. This is Pep Talk at the Garden Line. We are back. Mike Wiggins is here this morning. If you've got a question, 850-437-1620. We'd love to hear from you this morning.
Oh, we really would. One thing that we've talked about over the years, it's been a while, there's a guy out in Texas. It's called Neil Sperry. And Neil Sperry is the best talk show garden guy ever. He is so good. And he's written a book that I've always recommended. It's called Texas Gardening.
Oh.
And even though it's Texas, it has, I'm saying, 90% of it applies to us.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of divides it from North Texas to South Texas. In any event, Neil Sperry also puts out a little schedule of things to do. And he's very specific. He says, these are things to do on October 23rd.
Oh, wow. That is specific. Does he give a time?
Exactly.
At noon or 4 o'clock?
Yeah. He puts in his little email. He says, here are your homework assignments.
Oh, wow. That's probably helpful. For someone like me, that actually would be very helpful.
Oh, and it's really interesting because it really does talk about things that we've talked about
right here.
So I just thought it might be fun to see what he's recommending for us to do. First of all, he says, under the heading of plant, because he also has the headings of prune, mow, almond. But under the heading of plant, get ready for your spring bulbs. And he's right. He's right. Your daffodils, your tulips, your hyacinths, your anemones, your ranunculus, all of those bulbs, it's time to address that right now. First of all, when you buy them, buy the biggest. Back in the garden center days, we would have them in big bins. We would have them in bins.
I'm laughing because he starts demonstrating.
I'm demonstrating the bins, you know, how big they are, these bins. And
I can't see you, Mike.
I know. This is radio, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
It's tough.
Anyway, these bins, and you would pick and choose your individual bulbs. And, of course, if you can do that anywhere at any garden centers nowadays, just get the biggest.
Interesting.
The biggest
bulb
is the best. And you may pay a little bit more money, but it is the best. So you buy your big bulbs, and you take your tulips and your hyacinths. And he is very specific here. He says, go ahead and put them in the refrigerator because they need to be at 45 degrees until mid-December. Now, that's only the tulips and the hyacinths. The daffodils and the anemones, they do not. But you can plant them, all of them, say in November. He says mid-December is when you want to plant
them. In the refrigerator or the freezer?
Oh, the refrigerator.
Refrigerator, okay.
Yeah, not in the freezer, no. But don't eat them.
You know, right.
A tulip bulb is pretty appetizing. So in any event, it is time to address those bulbs. Keeping in mind that the tulips are not going to come back year after year. We've discussed that here on the Garden Line, but they're relatively expensive, but you're going to get that one shot in the spring. And sometimes, depending on how our winter goes, even though you've had them in the refrigerator, they just don't thrive here. You really need to be a little further north to really enjoy your tulips, and same for the hyacinths. Okay, but the other ones, the daffodils, for example, are a staple in Pensacola. Put them in, just plant them in mid-December, plant them two and a half times the diameter of the bulb, plant them that deep, and they will come up and bloom and be absolutely gorgeous. I like them in a natural area. I think I told you the story about a guy who, planting his daffodils, he wanted to put them in a little natural area he had, just kind of at random. So he took a double handful of daffodils and threw them over his shoulder. Oh. And wherever they landed, that's where he planted them.
Oh, wow.
He says it was great.
That
it really, really looked neat. Also, if you're going to plant daffodils, a yellow one that is great, and we have a listener who is an expert at this, and I wish she would call me, because she always has an alternate variety. The one I always mention is Carlton. So if you've got a choice of different daffodils and you see a bin that says Carlton, if you plant that one, you have a reasonable expectation of that bulb coming back year after year.
Huh, okay.
A lot of the daffodils won't, but that one will.
That's a great tip.
Oh, yeah, and I wish she was listening, because she called us, oh, maybe last time we talked about this, and said, wait a minute, you may want to try this particular daffodil, because she's had success of it repeating. So if she's listening, please let us know.
Okay.
So that's the bulb deal.
All right. Go ahead.
When you come back, I've got one other little thing about the bulbs.
Go ahead.
Okay, this is quick. When you're planting them, you know, as I said, 2.5 times the diameter, but put a little bone meal in the hole in which you're going to plant your daffodils. That helps the bulb thrive and grow and bloom.
See, those are the sneaky little secrets no one ever told me about.
Oh, yeah, that is a sneaky little secret. Bone meal, right.
Put the bone meal in there. And on that note, we will be back. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Text in your question. We'd love to hear from you this morning. Welcome back to The Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. You can text in a question or you can text in a comment. I like this one now.
Okay. Hit it. What we got?
Okay. We were talking about grasses, and you were talking about the Bahia? Bahia grass. So someone wrote in and said, is the Bahai grass ornamental? And it had a big smiley face next to it, which made me laugh out loud. And then the next text says, I'm going to start looking at it in a, quote, different light. So if you don't know, Baha'is a religion.
Oh, okay.
So the different light, I got it immediately. So but I had to explain to Mike.
I didn't get it.
So it's Bahia grass, but Baha'i religion.
Exactly.
Baha'i faith.
Two different things.
Yes, very, very. But
absolutely.
Good. I thought that was a cute text, so thank you.
How did you spell the
Baha'i? It's B apostrophe H-A-I.
Oh, okay.
Baha'i faith, okay. Yes. And it's a beautiful faith, by the way, just so you know.
Very good.
Oh, many good things about that. So
interesting.
Yeah, but it's not Baha'i grass.
No,
it's
not.
Bahia grass.
I was going to say, I was ready just to take off on Bahia grass, but maybe we don't need to go there yet.
That's okay.
Exactly. Bahia grass is interesting. It's very drought tolerant. It's maddening if you get it into your, say, your centipede grass. And the Pensacola Bahia is, of course, the one that sends up more seed heads than the other variety, which is called Argentine Bahia.
Oh.
I always thought, and I still think this, I really need to go take a look, that when they built Washington High School, that they planted Bahia grass. Because it's extremely traffic tolerant, drought tolerant. You can't get rid of it. But those seed heads, you can sit and watch them grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so you mow your lawn on Monday. You may need to mow it again on Tuesday.
Wow, okay.
But Florida Department of Transportation, of course, uses it on right-of-ways a lot. You seed it. You put out seed. You don't have to sod it.
Interesting.
You can put out seed. But interesting grass.
Yeah.
Just one that, who was it? I think it was Paul who was here the other day. He said a lot of, I guess, his customers or people he knows are starting to consider Bahia grass.
Interesting.
Because
yeah.
all our other grasses seem to have problems, from St. Augustine, centipede, even zoysia to some extent. So interesting. It's an interesting grass.
So you've talked about so many different types of grass. Mm-hmm. Do you have a personal favorite?
Well,
because you've probably recommended it before, but for someone that's maybe just joining us.
There's no doubt. Yes, I'm old school.
Mm-hmm.
I really like St. Augustine grass. The old bitter blue variety was the best. But the St. Augustine grass over the years, boy, we've talked about that a lot, has come up with some major problems.
Okay, well, we've got that to talk about in the next half hour. We will be back with Mike Wiggins and the Garden Line. And of course, if during the break, send in your questions, 850-437-1620. Always such a wonderful source of knowledge from Mike, who's been doing this for a long time. So we appreciate your expertise. This is Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We'll be back after the news. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And Mike Wiggins is here. The mayor is here hosting the Garden Line for the next half hour. So if you've got a question or comment, please text it in at 850-437-1620. All right, sir, what you got on the agenda now?
Okay, here we go. We're talking about Neil Sperry, the guy in Texas.
Right.
What he has told us to do on October 23rd. Well, he's 5 days late, but that's for, you know, it's close enough.
Okay.
Close enough. In any event, and I think I mentioned it a minute ago, but if you are looking for a gardening book, his book is called Texas Gardening by Neil Sperry. I think you can find it at any bookstore. Barnes & Noble probably has it, or you could order it. But boy, it is really good.
So lots of good gardening tips.
Lots of gardening tips. And one thing he's got, I'm not selling his book here, but maybe I am, is that insofar as you're weeds, insofar as your perennials, your annuals, your landscaping plants, beautiful color pictures of the ones that he recommends. And most of them, as I say, are do well here.
Okay.
Anyway, something to think about. But on this list here about what we need to do on October 23rd is plant your winter color. We've talked a lot about that last week when Paul was here. By the way, thanks to Paul.
He was great. He's so informative.
He's always good. He really is. He knows.
Paul's landscaping. Sky landscaping.
Yeah, blue sky.
Blue sky, thank
blue
you.
Blue sky, absolutely. In any event, now's the time to look at pansies, violas, smaller pansies, if you will. And he calls them pinks. And, of course, that's what I call dianthus. And they're the same thing. Same thing, dianthus. Some people call them pinks. Some people call them Sweet William. Some people call them carnations. I call them dianthus.
I know Sweet William. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's time to plant that. And he likes ornamental kale and cabbage, which I do too.
You mentioned that before.
Yeah, because those are two plants that you're not looking for blooms. You're looking for the plant itself. It grows like a cabbage because that's what it is. But it's an ornamental cabbage. And the colder it gets, the prettier it gets.
You said it was
dark,
colorful.
Dark blue, lavender colors. They're great plants. Good to plant in a container, in a pot, because of the color that you get out of it. So now is the time. My opinion, of course, and he doesn't mention this, but I do, is that preparation of your plant bed is most important. And this is where we get back into our discussion last week. How do you spell sphagnum?
Remember? Yes, we did discuss that.
We had to go to our research department, if you remember, to get that right. Mm-hmm. But Canadian sphagnum peat moss in the bed is a great way to do it. If you've got your bed, which is just pure sand right now, dirt, mix in some of the Canadian sphagnum peat moss. Mix in a little light fertilization, light low nitrogen fertilization. Turn it all under. Rake it smooth, and then you're ready to plant your pansies or your pinks, if you will. Snapdragons, that's another one. So that's what you need to do is prepare the bed, because here in Pensacola, you really need a little organic material in that bed. So he says just go ahead and plant those, and I agree with him. He also says if you live in South Texas, I think that kind of is us.
Right.
Consider sweet alyssum. It's low-growing, little white bloom, beautiful border plant. And petunias, which you never really think about for fall. You think about for spring.
I always think of those for spring. Yeah, but he's saying for the fall?
For the fall. Huh. They will put up with some cold weather.
Where would you buy those?
I think you should find them in the garden centers.
Okay.
So many people over the years are kind of gravitating to putting petunias in. And, of course, if you've got a container and you've got a tall plant, your cascading petunias are really pretty, and they'll overflow the edge of the pot. Really looks kind of cool. It really does.
And if you plant those now, do those last through the winter?
Maybe. It depends on the winter.
How cold?
How cold we get. We get down to below 20. It's like citrus. We always say the borderline is 20 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the petunias maybe even a little bit before that could be knocked back a bit by the cold. But if we have a Pensacola winter, it's,
mm-hmm.
not
it's
a
been
lot,
pretty
not a
mild
lot of,
so far.
They might do very well. He also says one other thing. I should have looked this up, and I did not. He says you can plant wallflowers. I don't know what a wallflower is. Maybe somebody listening can tell us. It may be something we plant here that in Texas they just have a different name for it.
I know it was a band in the 60s.
That's probably what he's talking about.
Bob Dylan and the wallflowers.
Meg, you are a source of information.
A plethora of useless knowledge in this head right here.
Exactly. Okay, now here, okay, in under his plant headline, he also says you can get a good deal on larger plants in your nursery. Go to the nursery, go to your garden center, and what they're doing right now is clearing out a lot of their plants so they can put in
Christmas
trees
and wreaths and Christmas plants, cactus, Christmas cactus. Cacti.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But they need a lot of room for Christmas trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might find some nice plants that have grown over the summer in their container in the nursery, and they just haven't sold yet. And so you might, but it's still maybe a clearance price.
Right.
So you can get some larger plants for your money because it's you hit those closeout sales
mm-hmm.
at your
That's
nursery.
Smart.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a good time.
So anyway, that's he says, check out your nursery for that. Also, now on the pruning side, this is his next headline is pruning. I don't know why he put it here, but if you're mowing your turf,
mm-hmm.
your lawn,
right?
He says there are two things you don't want to do. One, and we've preached this sermon forever on the Garden Line, you never, ever want to scalp your lawn. If you read the instructions on some of the ryegrass sales and packaging,
mm-hmm.
it'll say scalp your lawn first and then put out the ryegrass. Well, I guess in other parts of the country that's how you do it, but we don't do it that way here. Keep that lawnmower on whatever grass you've got at the proper level. St. Augustine, 4 inches. Centipede, 3 inches. Zoysia, around 2 inches. Don't ever vary from
that. Repeat that one more time.
Okay.
Okay, someone's writing this down.
Oh, I doubt if anybody's writing it down. They probably heard me say it. Oh.
Somebody. I'm somebody.
Yeah, no. St. Augustine, around 4 inches.
Okay.
Centipede, around 3.
Mm-hmm.
Zoysia, around 2.
Okay.
Depending on the variety of zoysia. Some you can mow a little closer than that. But the point is, never, in my opinion, never, ever change the level on your lawnmower.
Okay.
Unless you change variety
Good
of grass. Absolutely. And also, he says, and I've never heard this recommended, but he says don't do it. He says some people let their grass grow tall.
Hmm.
They thinking that it helps survive the winter. He says, no dice. Don't do that. It does nothing to improve winter hardiness.
Interesting.
So we go back to our original philosophy of keep the lawnmower at one level, keep mowing it when it needs it. We're going to start getting into dormancy here, so we're not going to have to mow quite as much, but don't let it grow so high that you violate some of the philosophy he's talking about.
Okay, before we go to break, I got a couple of texts that came in.
Oh, good.
And they were both comments about the wallflowers.
Oh, what? What are we talking about there?
So the wallflowers, and I had mentioned Dylan, it said someone says wallflowers was his son, Jacob, in the 90s. Their biggest song was One Headlight. And then, and then the other one says, this is cracks me up, just in case you didn't know, wallflowers are shy girls at the high school dance.
Oh,
on that note, we're going to go take a break.
Oh, but before we take a break, real quick, Meg,
yes.
real quick, write down the name of that song.
Oh, can, One Headlight.
Yeah, One Headlight. Whoever did that was, I think, a one-hit wonder.
There you go.
But
there
in any go. Event, we need to put that in our on our CD that we're producing of
Garden
Salon music.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, we appreciate that you're listening. See, we're getting caught up in the details here, right?
Great.
I
exactly.
love it. All right, we'll be back with the Garden Line. And, of course, if you have a question or comment, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. We've been talking about grass and maintenance. Okay, this is pretty funny. This is about the fifth text on this. I'm going to try to condense it, but thank you, Michael. You're hilarious. He says, concrete is the answer. He says, no watering, no mowing, no fertilizing, plenty of parking. And he said, and on a side note, Mayor Michael, make those, and we were earlier talking about Halloween trick-or-treaters and high schoolers that come with no costumes and stuff. Right. And he says, and on a side note, Mayor Michael, make those teenagers do some push-ups for the candy, especially with the ones that don't wear a costume. And so
That's interesting. It is interesting. I don't know if I can get them to do push-ups, but I do says, like to talk to them. I ask, you know.
Yeah.
What are you guys up to?
Right,
where do you go to school?
Get in trouble? Yeah.
And yeah, he says, it's fun to talk to.
Okay, so he says, scalp that lawn down to the dirt all the way down, then add concrete in big capital letters. He said, sell the mower and the lawn care equipment, make a friend who owns a boat, and go fishing.
You know what? You know what? I hear, he is funny. That's a great text. One thing you need to do, one, be sure that you put in concrete that's green.
Oh, there you go.
You know, if we're going to put concrete, let's do that. But seriously, I know a lot of folks will take pavers, concrete, if you will, to expand their patio in the back.
Right.
Because I'm a firm believer that if you say, I'm going to put in a patio behind here, take whatever you're planning and double the size. because to allow for all your friends and furniture and grills and all of that. So, and that's part of landscaping. Some people call it hardscaping because you're putting in pavers and such in a very decorative way. And then you landscape around the perimeter of your new patio that you concreted in.
Right.
And it looks great.
Right.
So he's on to something.
Okay.
Good text.
All right. Well, we've got another question, totally different subject. So we're getting back to the roots and the nuts and bolts of gardening here. And this one is, I'm planting my garlic this week. Should I cover with mulch after planting? And that's from our friend Steve on Escambia Bay.
I don't think so. I think it'll be
no
fine.
Mulch?
I don't think you have to mulch it. I really don't. I think I'd just go ahead and plant it. It's one of those things you can plant this time of year. It's not very much. Most of us are planning for spring. And that's the subject of a show pretty quick we need to do to plant on what we want to plant, where we want to plant it. Do we want to extend our flower beds? Do we want to reduce them? You know, it's so many questions. And what do we want to plant? Because there is a book written by another book that, written by a local guy, Mike Robertson, who has about 25 points that one should do to address the landscaping in your yard.
Oh, gosh.
Very, very well written.
Was that Mike's garden on
exactly.
Guy Fries?
Exactly.
That same Mike? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And we've referenced his book a lot here. It's called The Gulf Coast Landscape. And he's really good. But that list of thank you. Tina joined us in the studio.
Oh, hi, Tina.
With a note.
Somebody, she always brings us messages.
Thanks, Tina. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But, that's what we need to do.
Okay, so Mike's book.
Yeah.
You said 25 points?
I've got it right here. It's called Gulf Coast Landscape.
Uh-huh.
And his section on planning your landscape is very, very interesting. And it starts out with walk the neighborhood.
Oh.
Look and see what your neighbors have done. If you've got a neighborhood of very traditional landscaping, you may not want to go all tropical.
Right.
You may want to kind of do the same thing, not the same thing they've done, but keep the same theme. So it starts out with taking a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts out with go to your middle schooler and steal some graph paper from their backpack and start drawing.
Yeah.
And
Know what's interesting is driving down Bayou Boulevard and you see all the different landscaping concepts.
Right.
It's wild. And there's one yard that just has stones in it. Have you seen that? It's just like lots of pebbles.
I have.
And I guess that eliminates this entire conversation.
That's right. So I've always said, though.
It's not concrete, but.
I've always said using a lot of little rocks and pebbles is one way. I know that.
I like when you trim a bed or something like
but
with
if
it.
If you've got a family with little boys.
Oh.
And those rocks.
Oh, not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Yeah.
Because you may want to have your window guy on speed dial.
Yeah. But you see everything
here.
They'll
throw those rocks.
You see the palm trees and oak trees. You see all kinds of interesting landscaping concepts.
Exactly. How did we get there? We got there about the guy concreting his lawn.
Yes, that's how this all started. It's your fault, Michael.
It is my fault.
No, the other Michael. His name is Michael.
Oh, the other Michael.
Michael Squared.
Exactly.
We got two Michaels this
week. Okay,
we
got to go back to one or two more things. Okay. Neil Sperry says, because we're not going to make it because we're running out of time. He says, and this is important, he says, you need to prune the dead limbs from your trees because obviously you have winter storms and such. Those limbs are heavy and they can do some damage. But now's the time to do it. When a tree still has leaves on it, you can look up in that tree and see the limbs that have the dead leaves on it or that are crossing or broken.
That makes sense.
When it goes dormant, you could prune a tree, but you can't really identify where that problem is sometimes. So he says prune earlier to get those dead limbs out of your tree than prune later when they're totally dormant. I've never kind of heard it put that way, but...
No, that makes sense,
and,
actually.
And it makes some sense.
Because you might prune the wrong thing if you're not paying...
That's exactly right.
If you wait too late.
Exactly. And then his last thing on the pruning is just do some wholesale cleaning up of all your spring beds. They've had it. The heat had them. The drought had them. You know, just get out of there. And then go back to what we originally said and start preparing those beds for the winter or even... thinking ahead to spring. Hmm. You may not want to go full bore on winter plants. You may just Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. But prepare that bed so then in the spring, which will be here before you know it, you'll be ready.
Right.
So that's a good thing to do.
No, these are great tips.
Yeah, exactly. He's good. It's all right. All right, now on fertilization. Fertilization. This is next. That's his next category.
Okay.
Fertilize. Fertilize your newly planted annuals, pansies, dianthus, snapdragons, all those, with a water-soluble plant food. There are a lot of them on the market where you, obviously you get the little granule, you mix it with water, and you go ahead and fertilize those. He says do it right now. Do it right now. Interesting. I think I would have waited. Let them kind of get settled first, get the root system all established, and then fertilize them. He says do it now.
Yeah, wow.
He says do it almost immediately, and he says the plants will be better off for that.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting. And then, of course, he talks about fertilizing the lawn, and we've talked about that over the last couple of weeks. We talked many, many shows about the winterizer fertilizer. But I think last week, even talking to Paul, we've all decided that it's just a little late.
Right.
You just don't need to do it. It's just not going to do that much good. It's going to be a waste of money. So if you've got it, if you've already bought it, it wouldn't hurt to put it out. But I'm not sure you're going to get your money's worth.
Mm.
And you can always take that winterizer and put it around some of your shrubbery. Because it has low nitrogen, it's not going to promote a lot of new growth that could be hurt by a frost. But what it's going to do is strengthen the roots, just like it does in the lawn grass. It will do the same for your shrubbery. So if you've got it, you can use it. If you don't have it, if you haven't purchased it yet, I'd pass. We'll just wait till spring.
Okay, great advice. Right here on the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins and Pep Talk. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Just a couple minutes left, Mike. Did you have a couple things you wanted to mention? You had a call that came in, actually.
You got a call, and Tina brought it to you from Eddie. Eddie gave us a phone call, asked, how do you get rid of mushrooms? Well, sometimes you just need to dig them up.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst ever is the devil's tongue.
Ooh, that sounds bad. That sounds Halloweenish.
The odor is just horrible.
Ooh.
You'll get one of your masks. We all have masks in our house now, of course. And dig it up with your shovel, put it in your garbage can. Goodbye.
Okay.
But if you have other mushrooms, sometimes mushrooms will come up around an area and you don't know why it's doing that. And that's because you had a tree there at one time and it has rotted under the ground and the mushrooms come out that way.
Oh, interesting.
Sometimes it's caused by a spore.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it fairy circle is what it's called.
Huh.
And so a lot of different ways. If you have them and if you dig them up and throw them away, put some lime out. Just put some dolomite lime in that area. It doesn't always take care of all future mushrooms, But it's a good, about the only thing one can do.
Okay. Great question. Thanks, Eddie, for calling in with that one. Real quick here, if you've missed some of what Mike's talked about, we have covered a lot of topics today. You can hear it again this Saturday at 9 o'clock. You can also go to our website, newsradio923.com, click on podcast, click on the Garden Line. You can rehear this broadcast.
Texas Gardening is the name of the book by Neil Sperry.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much, Mike. As always, a great show. The Garden Line on Pep Talk. We'll be back.